Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Assignment. Review the statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs and assumptions are revealed? A belief or assumption could be revealed by a single statement or collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions. RL what you see. Example, voices. How can they be so selfish and short-sighted? Can't they see they're endangering other people's lives? Belief, it's not okay to impose our preferences on other people. All right, here's our first caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Sherry. So what I've been looking at, started to look at in this session is what the thing that's unacceptable is that I'm not what I'm not. And so conditioning is always pointing out what I'm not, you know, and saying there's a reason why I'm not that thing. And it could be anything, you know. It could be I'm not a fluent guitarist. I'm not a world traveler. I'm not smarter. I'm not whatever, right? And so you can just see how, like, that just to dip a toe into that belief, just, you know, it all kind of cascades from there because it's accepting that that's true. And then the reasons that conditioning says it's true and what it says I need to do to not be those things.
Yeah, and the list is endless.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's such a...
For any of us. For any of us, right? I mean, there are millions of things that we aren't with that as a definition.
Right. Yeah. And it just, you know... It just becomes such a self. Well, I mean, it just, you know, it, yeah, because it is endless, and because, you know, it just seems like it's a way of both not acknowledging what is, and then also not kind of seeing what is true about, you know, most things. It's just like that to, you know, if there's something that I have an interest in. Well, I'm not, you know, if I, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, if I take up some new endeavor.
Violin.
Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, everyone who starts mm-hmm. violin doesn't know how to do that, you know. Mm-hmm. But even that is not accepted in the conditioned world. It's like, well, only certain people are capable of that.
Right. Well, and the fascinating thing about that, Bob, from an awareness practice perspective is it's all content and every one of those things is content, right? And it's all about doing. So
right.
Both of those are the land of ego, right? And what you said is the essential piece of it. It's all focused on what's not, which again, mm-hmm. it's ego's world, right? So it wants to get us out of what is so, what is true, what is, and take us into that dualistic world and then talk to us about doing and content.
Right. Yeah, that seems really important. It's about doing content. And that once the tension is there, there's nothing to be gained there, right? There's no...
Oh, never, ever, ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, ever. That's one of those where we just... You know, you've been exploring this for a while, and we just get to that point of, yeah, we're not having that conversation because that is going nowhere. Like you know, Bob, you're not tall enough. Okay.
Right. Right.
What are we going to do with that?
Yeah.
Why would we ever want to talk about that?
Yeah, that's really helpful because I saw that even in just like choosing this as the focus for the session because. What conditioning wanted me to pay attention to was like, there's some right content to focus on, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm. that you can do something
that,
about.
Right. And instead, you know, what always seems to be the move, you know, is to just get here you know, mm-hmm. read the assignment, get here, and then see what arises. Mm-hmm. And this is what arose, and then just kind of staying with what is actually here, rather than the conversation mm-hmm. that, well, this would have been the better thing. That's not the right thing. You can't choose that.
Right. You know. Yeah. Yeah. And so it's funny to think of it this way, but what is acceptable is that ego is always going to do that, and my job is to drop it. It's always right. going to do that. I'm never going to become the person that ego is going to say, good job, I'm retiring.
Right. Because what just dropped in for me is that if my attention is always on where ego wants it to be, it guarantees that I can't actually attend to the thing that I say I want to take on or some
right.
project I want to work on. Because
that's right.
Because
even if you're engaged with that, it's in a conversation about how you're not good enough and you're not doing it right and what about this and what about that. And yeah.
Yeah. Great. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Sherry, when Bob just said, "I'm my acceptance is of what I'm not," mm-hmm. it's just the relaxation that I felt in those words, because mm-hmm. that's really what happens when we let go of that conversation, right? Because if you're constantly being told what you're not and what you should be, there's almost that. The attention goes to, well, how can I be that? There's an efforting involved. But
yeah, an assumption that I want to be.
That's right, because it's unexamined,
yeah.
right? And so,
yeah.
well, I'm not
yeah.
a great guitar player, or I'm not a great musician, or you're not the best artist in the world, or you don't write the best stuff in the world, or whatever it is that you're being told and criticized with about. And then just to say, yeah, I'm not that, allows me mm-hmm. to completely, and actually, I think in the conversation it came up, it allows for two things, right? Which is one, then to focus on what is, right? Instead of ignoring all that is and focusing on what is not, I can focus on all that is and not focus on what is not, and just simply enjoy how life is expressing through me. And really
yeah.
engage with what it is that I want to do and enjoy doing and is available for me to engage with.
Yeah. So when the voice says, well, you're not, you can just say, isn't
yeah.
that, yeah, I'm not, isn't that great? Because
yeah.
what that does is free up all this time and energy for this.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It really is the pivot that is so
uh-huh.
important to do. Because it's the only way
uh-huh.
we can avoid the self-hate.
Right. Because, yes, what you're saying is, at the moment we engage, it's got us.
Yeah.
Right? Which is why we always talk about not trying to get rid of self-hate.
Yeah.
Because we're just engaged with it. It's like yelling at somebody to try to get out of an argument.
Right. It's the trying to make the unacceptable acceptable. Rather than just accept
mm-hmm.
the unacceptable.
Right. Yes. Well stated. That'd be a great bumper sticker.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Emily from Seattle.
Well, hello, Emily. What are you
Hi.
Looking at and working on and picking?
Well, I chose something that's kind of like a general low-grade non-acceptance of myself that's taking the form of, or the content is like what I'm eating and self-care. And I didn't catch it at first because it's not really something I worry about too much, but always have like a way to eat better. And so it's just been kind of to uncover it. It's really quite like it's really quite me, and just kind of provides ego with this constant low grade. You know, you've failed and now you feel bad. And
right, not because of what you ate, right? You're not feeling bad because of what you ate. You're feeling bad because here's proof that you're a failure. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think it is taking the content because of what I ate, and it's getting me complicit with it because it's like ego and I both agree, like, yeah, that's not what I want to be eating right now. That's not what I want to be putting in my body.
Here's the trick of that one, Emily. That's ego talking to ego.
Yeah, but I do have the idea that I would like to be, I mean, the
That's ego.
Authenticity has, well,
That's
what about
ego.
Just self-care?
That's ego. Nope, that's ego.
So
I can
authenticity
promise you.
Is not in this at all?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that what you're dealing with is not coming from authenticity.
Okay.
It's an idea that ego is holding against you. It's a belief. It's an assumption. Here we are in this. There's a belief about how a person should eat. And that mm-hmm. belief then gets used by ego to torture. So the complicit never leaves ego. Okay? So ego is in a conversation with ego. And the thing is, Emily, if we go back to the acceptance, it's accepting that ego is always going to do that. So this would be my encouragement. Mm. This is how I would approach it, okay? I want to see how I got talked into eating that. If this is an issue, well, how did I decide to eat it? Not being beaten up afterwards for having eaten it. That's the scam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so you're blamed for eating it. Yeah, but how was that decision made? Who was there? How did that happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the belief is that I need to that I deserve a beating for that.
That's right.
Or for
that's
making,
exactly
that
it.
It's my choice, that it's my choice
that's
that
right.
I'm doing that on purpose, and then I kind of
that's
do
it.
Need a beating to improve.
Yeah, straighten you up.
It's just, yeah, well, it just mm-hmm. kind of automatically goes along with it. It's like
well,
the,
of course, because,
the oldest
again,
one in the book.
It's,
but.
That's right. It's ego identified with ego. And seeing that process, Emily, is huge because it's happening to people all the time. Ego is talking mm-hmm. to ego, and we think we're thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the way out of that is, realizing that and then noticing what's happening, paying attention to what's happening, and then not feeling bad about it or noticing.
Right. Well, noticing it and feeling good about noticing it. And to keep in mind, it's exactly what Bob said, right? It's content and it's doing. That's if people would just write that, you know, in red big red letters on their white wall, that would be fabulous. Because anytime it's content and doing, we know it's ego, and it's ego talking to ego.
Mm-hmm.
Content
so it's
and doing.
Process.
That's
and
not
it's process.
That's right.
And being.
Being. That's right. And just for those who get trapped in this, I have a friend who got cancer, and noted mm-hmm. that. She had eaten enough broccoli to sink an entire armada, and it didn't keep her mm-hmm. from getting cancer. Okay, so that kind of belief and that the torture that we're put through is probably way harder on our health.
Yeah, right. And never, and I know it's a process because I could be eating something really healthy, but that whole mental thing is still going on about.
That's right.
Not,
that's
you know,
exactly
not
right.
Eating well enough.
And you know what, Emily? When you are eating the most pristine, pure, approved by every diet thing in the world, it'll just move to something else.
Right.
Because it's
yeah.
a process
yeah,
of self-hate. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
All right. Well,
thank
thanks.
You. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Emily. Sherry, what I was... what I got from that conversation is how much we want to examine everything, even
everything.
If it is something good, right? That the
That's
belief
right.
is, the belief can be a good one, within quotes. I mean, the whole of the Kill of Mockingbird workshop was precisely about examining all beliefs, even beliefs
yes.
that make you a good person can blind you.
That's right.
And
that's
so
that
the encouragement.
Exactly so.
Is that if you're believing something, you want to be aware that you're believing it, because as long as you're believing it, you're being controlled.
That's right. And, you know, to take this to kind of well, the same place, basically. Most people on this call have choice about what they eat. And so, because of that, we get talked into eating stuff that we're told is bad for us or whatever. Much of the world has no choice, and much of this country at this point has no choice about what they're eating. So if we go down that road, then what we're really doing is allowing ego to survive in circumstances. We indulge it in circumstances like these, where we're privileged enough that we, in theory, have all these choices. Well, what happens if that goes away? And you're just lucky to get something to eat. Must you live then in self-hate constantly? Because now you're living on potatoes and they're really not good for you? You know, if we end it where we encounter it, then we're way ahead of the game. Mm-hmm. Instead of indulging it until we get to places in life where we have no choice, and all we're left with is the self-hatred.
Yes, which is the reason to accept that ego as a process exists.
That's right.
That's right. And at all contents, we're attempting to transcend that.
That's right. And what you just said a minute ago, you know, we talk about pay attention to everything, believe nothing. And don't take anything personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it, right? That's what you just said. We need to pay attention to everything, even the things that we're getting information are right,
yeah,
are good.
Mm. Phew. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Helga in Charleston.
Hello, Helga.
Hi. I didn't expect to get on. I joined kind of late, but here I am.
I mean, here you are.
Here I am. So I've been, I'm looking at a bunch of things, but one thing that came up for me is, you know, accepting that we are all conditioned beings, me and everybody else.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've been for a very long time now involved in a struggle between ego and ego. Like what you were talking about earlier with the last caller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like, you know, I've been like the ping pong ball between the two sides of ego. And And what I see, you know, when I project that is that, you know, when I come across when I notice something, you know, where somebody, you know, has a conditioned response that to me is so obvious, you know, there's a part that where ego gets like, oh my God, how could they, you know, how could they say that? You know, it's mm-hmm. like, how can they not see that? You know, mm-hmm. indignation.
Which really makes you, which makes you the right person, right?
Yeah.
Then you're on the good side, right? At that point.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've noticed that, I mean, I think over my lifetime with all that I've done, you know, I feel like ego had created like this image of like some spiritually mature person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
which made me feel so much better than most other people.
Well, until Helga, you behaved or you had a thought that was not spiritually mature, right? Didn't you then have to suffer a great deal when it was pointed out that you too have feet of clay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is how we catch on, to what you said, right? That I am ego's ping pong ball. Mm-hmm. It's just batting me from one side of that duality to the next. Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? Is that the right thought or the wrong thought? Does that make me a good person or does that make me a bad person? Does that make me...
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just
there's
constant.
Always, I've noticed that. There's always this, like, hawk hovering over me.
Yes.
You know, watching everything that I do and that I say and evaluating that. And, yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Which is where we talk about one of the things that I think is saddest in the whole world, which is people are conditioned to believe that's God watching them and mm-hmm. judging everything that they do,
right.
rather than
right.
it's ego watching us and judging.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good to see.
Yeah, it's very good to see. It's very good to see. And finding that acceptance, you know, that is how we all are, and finding that acceptance
yes.
for myself. You know?
Yes. Because yeah. really, why should you be the exception? Right. But that's what we're taught to believe, right? I should mm-hmm. be the exception. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be like everybody else.
Well,
we
I think what happened, I mean, you know, because of the particulars of my life, I feel like I've created this spiritual persona, you know, that
ego has.
Kind of ego has, yes. That kind mm-hmm. of hovered above you know, the earthly suffering or something. I don't know.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
You know, and it all, yes. I mean, it all came crashing down pretty much during the time when I met you. You know, it's like, and I just couldn't, you know, it just, you know, it just kind of all fell apart. And then, you know, and
isn't
then I...
Isn't that good?
And then I got the beatings from the, you know, from the other side, you know, it's like that I was like, you know, so... And that's the other thing that I'm looking at, you know, the acceptance of the possibility of ending suffering in this lifetime. That's the other side of the coin. You know, that I mean, ego thinks, you know, tells me that, you know, I'll never get there.
Right. Yes.
You know.
Which takes a person to a place of extreme gratitude that all of that horse pucky fell apart. Right? And that you're getting to see ego for what it is. So when it says, well, that's not going to be okay, well, maybe. Maybe yes, maybe no.
Mm.
Maybe. Who knows? I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
Buddha said it. The Buddha said it's possible. I'm going to work off. If I'm going to have an assumption, that's the one I'm going to work off of. And that's where I'm headed.
Mm.
And then whatever ego says, it's just like, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Right. Uh-huh.
Mm.
Yeah. I hear you. Mm-hmm. Next. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Helga.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Helga. Sherry, we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Tom in Arizona.
Hello, Tom.
I have not called in. Well, I am sequestered with my family during the pandemic, which right away I see is not true. I have a fantastic park and backyard and all these other things I can do. But ego really has me struggling with the people who I'm loving in my family and their challenges, and it's really making it about them being the wrong person and me being a victim. So I'm working on accepting that we're all challenged right now.
You're taking a page out of Helga's book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So I am struggling with how they are, and I suspect they are struggling with how I am.
Yep. And, you know, and so ego, well, first of all, the whole backdrop of this is I know practice works. You know, the mm-hmm. metaphor that you've given before about, you know, being out in the mist, eventually you get uh-huh. really wet, and that's practice. And mm-hmm. and yep. it's like, so it is working, and I am transformed from the extremely unaware person to just the oftentimes unaware person that I was 20 years ago or whatever. And at times I still am duped, bamboozled, and spend mm-hmm. days really suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And when I come out of it, the difference in attitude is I'm a bad person 20 years ago versus, okay, it happened again.
Still happened.
Right. Where do we go from here? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, and Tom, what you're saying, where we go from here, is probably the greatest gift for many, many people who are in a similar position to yours during this pandemic. The greatest gift is exactly that opportunity to experience compassion and offer it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because we're having to face things that we would probably never have faced in an entire lifetime. Like, oh my God, I am stuck with these people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, I know mm-hmm. I love them. And I can't stand them, right? If I don't get away from them, I'm going to kill us all. Okay, well, that's a good thing in myself to confront. I'd like to let go of that now instead of, again, waiting to, God help us all, a time when it could be actually real.
Well, and I'm never going to get to, and I know people do get to that point where like, the only way I can solve this is extreme violence. I'm never going there. That's, you know, and as is, the
physical.
Song I hear. Correct.
Physical.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I actually work in a job where I'm defending these people in court that believe it so much that that's what they do. So I see it on a regular basis. But, you know, the struggle for me is when I'm in the box of ego and when I'm in the, I am just hating everything and everybody, including myself,
mm-hmm.
where to go. And there is a refrain that you told me years and years ago about, well, then explore the box.
Yes.
And if I can lift my consciousness to that level, if I can get in touch with that, it really is transformational.
Yes. Oh, exactly so. Because you move from identification with ego to identification, in quotes, with the awareness that is observing it. and in a heartbeat you're free.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, sometimes more than a heartbeat, but I know what you're saying.
Right. Well, you have to do a little, to really make that movement, right? That's the transformation.
Yeah.
From I am stuck in this to, and you know that expression, there but for the grace of God go I. That level of compassion where you realize the people you work with, I said it, you know, having a baby on my own, responsible for a baby who had colic for 3 months. And me, you know, with a level of consciousness that had lifetimes to evolve. Right.
Yeah.
And I knew exactly how people harmed babies. I knew exactly. So that ability to judge anybody for that point where their screw isn't quite tightened down enough. No,
mm-hmm.
no, we know those places in ourselves. Yeah.
Wow.
And just thank God. I never gone there.
I am so with you now after having this discussion. Thank you so much. I know we're running late. That's all I had to say. But thank you, Aneshwini, so much for doing the work. I've listened to every call but one this year long, so I'm thankful to Sangha for so much, and Gosho, thank you again.
Will you take care of yourself? Thank you, Tom.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Go happy.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Tom. And Cherry, that brings us to the end of an amazing show. Here's our assignment. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Assignment. Review the statements from the voices you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic. RL what you see. Examples. Rebellious teenager. Don't tell me what to do. It's just not fair. Independent. When what I do is no one else's business, I get to make my own choices. I don't tell you what to do. What gives you the right to impose your perspective on me? Reasonable. Why can't people see someone else's perspective? Isn't there a way to work this out so both of us have what we want? Philosophical. Since your people can disagree but still reach a satisfying conclusion. Hopeless. I just can't see a solution.
There's a whole world in a few simple sentences.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Aneshwini. Thank you,
Thank
everybody.
You. Go happy.
Take care. Go happy.